Hello and welcome to an SGR coffee break. This is episode 25. This is post E3 haze. I am stoked and Carrie is like dead.
That intro made me laugh. Yeah. I'm not dead. It just appears that I did not escape the con flu like I thought I had.
Hey, when you pack thousands of people in a tiny space, bugs get all over. Can never escape a con without having conquered. Although, you know, I gotta say, I think I've gone to, you know, in all the years I've done Gen Con, I don't think I've ever come home and gotten sick.
Well, you also drive there, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, I think that has something to do with it as well. Like, I did take my airborne before getting on the flights, and I took it after I got off the flight. But there's just something about being trapped in an airport, and, you know, also, you know, my flight was delayed. It was 2.5 hours getting out there, so I was like trapped in an airport full of really friendly people during that time. So it's just, you know, you shake hands a lot of different people, you know handling the game controllers, you know. And I did not get out my hand sanitizer out of my bag as often as I probably should have.
Carrie, I know.
There's a rookie mistake. But I was so busy, I just forgot.
Come on, this is noob level mistakes right here. Noob level mistakes.
I didn't even go out and party. I was good. I went to bed early. And
I thought you were pro at this, but man, we might have to take your pro card away.
Yeah, I'll put it this way. Like, today I'm feeling so bad. I am like this close to canceling my San Diego Comic-Con trip.
Well, it would save you money, I guess.
Well, no, because, well, yeah, it'd save me my hotel money. But, you know, I've already paid for the flight. And I, at this point, I'm like, yeah, I'm willing to eat that.
To not be sick.
Pretty much, yes. Because that's in 2 weeks.
Holy shit, that's like...
I know.
You're just going to get over this and have to go deal with that.
That's my thoughts. That's why I'm actually considering canceling it. I guess if I get some really awesome meetings, I'll continue with it. But so far, all the meeting invitations I've had have been for TV shows and stuff. And
TV shows.
I mean, if I was writing about that stuff, it'd be really, really cool. But I have nothing to, I'm not going to take those invitations because those need to go to people who actually will have, like, you know, real interviews for them instead of me just going, hi, I like your show.
Your show's good. Will you have another show? Oh, well, while you debate on that.
Yeah.
We are going to do another E3 episode, but this time it's because Carrie's back, and she was actually at the show floor, as you might have gathered by her deadly virus that she's contracted that's probably going to, you know, put her out for the rest of the week. So we're here to talk about your experiences and what you can bring to the table for us.
Well, let's see. I guess I kind of wanted to make this kind of be like, I would talk about, you know, some of my big surprises and what I really got out of the show. And then if Chris had any questions about stuff that he could ask me, because I know I saw some things that he's going to be interested in. The biggest surprise announcements for me was the second South Park. I did not see that coming, especially since Matt and Trey were so vehement after the last one. They would never fucking do this again. I believe that was their exact words. We will never fucking do this again. But as they said at the Ubisoft press conference, they said, well, but then when we were done, we now understand how to do this. We won't make the same mistakes. Like, well, now we want to do it better. So, and I love Stick of Truth, so I cannot wait for Fractured Butthole, or as my friend Joey kept calling it, the Fractured Butthole. I'm really looking forward to that. I like how it's available for pre-order, and then Cartman's like, yeah, pre-order it. That's a good idea. So that was one I didn't see coming, and of course, my big announcement that I about fell over for was not Final Fantasy VII. That announcement got spoiled for me. I'll tell you that story here in a minute. It was Square Enix announcement of a sequel to Nier. And Nier was, I'm in a very small club with this, that I loved Nier. I know a lot of people hated it, and that's fine. You can hate it, but I had a lot of fun. I loved it so much. I actually played through all four of the endings to see how it ended. And the fourth ending actually wipes your entire save. There's a reason behind that. It's actually kind of a cool reason, but at the same time, it's like, oh, well, crap. Now I'd have to play it again if I really wanted to play the whole thing to get back where I was. But, yeah, so I'm so excited about that. As for Final Fantasy VII, when I got to the Sony press conference, I met a couple of friends, and they said, oh, so GamesBeat leaked some of the announcements. One of them is Final Fantasy VII. I'm like, whatever, that's not going to happen. I'll believe it when I see it. So then when we get into Sony and they lead off with Last Guardian, and you know, of course, which I can't believe that's actually a thing. I was really expecting that to be, you know, put out to pasture. You know, Joey immediately turned to me and said, it's like, I can't believe Sony just blew their load at the very beginning. But then, you know, they did have Final Fantasy VII. But before that, you know, they showed Final Fantasy World, which does look super cute and a lot of fun. And I turned to my friends. I was like, there's your Final Fantasy VII remake, assholes. And then right after that, boom, Final Fantasy VII remake. So I do have to say I am laughing a lot with the announcements for Final Fantasy VII, like the details that are coming out about it. It's like, huh. I don't think this is going to be what anybody expects. Yeah. Everyone's going to be so angry. It's just kind of delightful. And I don't know why people would expect. They wanted a remaster, and what they're getting is a remake. And I don't think they understand what the remake.
Yeah, they definitely chose that carefully to say that it was a remake, not a remaster. Master. So, and yeah. Because you're already getting, like, the PC version of Final Fantasy VII is coming over. So, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I still have my, I have the original PS1 discs, and I have the copy on my Vita, you know, that was ported from the original PlayStation 1. So, you know, I'm kind of good. I'm curious about Final Fantasy VII. Maybe this will be the first time I actually complete it. But if it's completely different, then I guess technically not. So that won't happen till like 2017, 2018 to begin with. So,
and we'll there's been a lot of articles throughout the years, because let's face it, since the PS3, people have been clamoring to get a remaster, let's put it that way, a remaster of Final Fantasy VII.
They want a remaster. They don't want
a remake. And there's been a lot of articles pointing out that because this is probably the most loved game out of this franchise, that there's no way they could take, you know, we're taking high school memories, you know, where we would race home from school and to play this. And that was, you know, we got involved with that story. We, you know, it's the first time I think some of us almost shed a tear during a game when Aeris dies. And I'm not going to put a spoiler alert there. This game is so fucking old. Just get over it. You know, there are so many memories wrapped up in that. And if you go back and you try to play it now, you're kind of like, wow, the system was really clunky at the time. You know, the visuals are, if you go back just to watch some of the videos on YouTube, it's pretty rough. And
but at the time
it was great, and we all loved it. And I think that's why it's, you know, this really changed a brought a lot of people into the whole Final Fantasy realm, and then it was shortly followed up by Final Fantasy VIII, which really that was a really, really bad idea. But you know, there's all these high expectations, and to do a remaster, you're bringing all that clunky stuff over, right? So the game system itself hasn't really held up over time. Yeah, you're gonna get a visual update, but now that they're going with a remake, I think people are thinking, you know, we're going to get Final Fantasy VII with nicer high-end visuals, and maybe they might do something. But That remake basically is like, we're going to change some of the game systems. They could bring in the fighting system from Final Fantasy 12 and slap that in, as opposed to the whole the menu system that you had. And there's a lot of things that could you're not really going to draw upon here. I mean, there's you may expect one thing, and because this is a remake, it's you know, you don't know what you're going to get at this point. I'm optimistically excited about it, but at the same time, I'm also very cautious based off of remake as opposed to remaster or you know retry or whatever. So this is one where I'm excited to see that that it's finally becoming a thing. I'm also worried about what they're going to do with it. So
they're going to George Lucas it.
Cloud just sits there and goes, "No!" when Aerith dies. Oh god. If they George Lucas it, it's gonna be terrible. And you know, the other thing is that this could really hurt this franchise if they don't, because you have some the expectations for this game are so high. People are so
unrealistically so.
And I don't. I worry, like, I'm keeping my expectations low. Also really excited about it at the same time, but you know, if this game bombs because they remade it and they do something over the top with it, to me, I think this could really hurt this franchise. And I think it was smart that they were like, yeah, we're not doing it. And then now we're finally getting it. Yeah, man, it makes me, you know, we have Final Fantasy 15, which that demo got some pretty good praise out of it, but you know, that's coming out before Final Fantasy VII Remake. I do worry that if this flops, that you know, it's going to hurt this franchise pretty hard. So,
oh, I can't wait to salt my popcorn with all the tears.
You can try to salt your popcorn, but Michael Jackson, man, he's eating that shit up on Facebook. I don't know where you're gonna get your popcorn at. That dude, he's fucking every political post and whatnot. He's just eating that popcorn. So yeah, and then The Last Guardian. You know, to me, that announcement still, I'm still like, is it really a thing? Can we just have? Is it going to have a release date? Can we get a demo? Maybe just.
I do have to say, with what they showed, I was not impressed. And that's because of two things. Like one, like because you know they're showing actual gameplay. Well, like when the little dog beast, you know, went over flew over to the bridge, and then the kid had to go, you know, do a leap of faith for it to catch it. I'm like, why didn't it ride on its back?
It's a video game, Carrie. Video game.
This okay. That, and if the kid has to yell at the dog beast, like, the whole time, like it did at the gameplay, that was driving me crazy. Every single time it yelled at it, I was like, stop yelling. Just stop doing it. Oh my god, just stop. It just grated on my nerves. So I have and maybe it's because I have kids that do that all the time, because it's constant, like, mom, 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 mom. Like, if you've ever seen that Family Guy thing with Stewie, mom, like, for... Mom. Like,
Mommy, Mama.
Like for 2 minutes, I think. And that's what this felt like. And because like people I was sitting with, they don't have kids, and so they didn't even notice that yelling was kind of annoying. So I don't know. I don't have that thing for Ico or Shadow of the Colossus. I didn't play either, so this may not be for me.
See, I enjoyed both of those games. I enjoyed Shadow of the Colossus a lot more than I enjoyed Ico, but I mean, they're both really good. But then again, this is another one of those games where people have been wanting it for so long, and it's been on again, off again. It's like a bad relationship. You break up, you get back together every once in a while because the sex was really good when you make up for it, and then you just realize, no, this is not a relationship, and you break up, and you just keep doing this over. I mean, this game has been like coming and going for so long now, and it just
makes you like happy that Bethesda just finally put, you know, Prey 2 down.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, this is not happening. We're sorry.
Yeah. So this is another one where I'm cautiously optimistic about it because I really enjoyed Shadow of the Colossus. I think I owned it. Well, I did it twice because I got like the HD redo of it or whatever.
That sounds
It
to
was.
me like you're going to be reviewing the strategy guide.
Oh, would you look at that? I just
Yeah.
signed up for that. Oh, of
Oh,
course,
yes,
you
you
should stop
did.
talking.
Well, my other big surprise that happened actually at the show, like my very first meeting of E3 was with Activision, and I had a meeting to see Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5. And no, I'm not into the Pro Skater franchise. I know people are, but this was one of my things that, you know, sometimes you got to take meetings for games that you don't care about to get the games that you do care about. Because you just can't be like, oh, I just can't nitpick. So this was one of those situations with Activision that, you know, I went to see, you know, Call of Duty Black Ops and Skylanders and Guitar Hero Live, and so Ellen King's Quest. That was the one I really wanted, was King's Quest. But so I took on these others that I didn't really care about because I just can't. It's just not cool to focus on this one thing. But I totally forgot that this meeting was also for a previously unannounced game, and they hadn't announced it, and they were not putting it out on the press release until the first meeting. So, you know, they were talking about like, well, so I was waiting outside for the meeting to start. And they said, they're like, well, you know, we're here to show you this. Oh, in a Transformers game. I was like, oh, that sounds awesome to combine those together. She's, no, I'm serious. Like, there's a Transformers game in there. Like, what? And she's like, oh, yeah, the unannounced game. Don't tweet about it just yet. So I get in there, and, you know, they do the Pro Skater 5, and then they talk about Transformers Devastation, which is developed by Platinum Games, and instantly I'm like, what? You got Transformers and like my favorite developer ever, which then makes me wonder, what is Platinum not working on right now? And what this is the setting is in between, they said, season two of the 1980s cartoon and the movie. And the art style is cel-shaded, and it's taken directly from the 1980s cartoon. They even brought back all the living voice actors for it.
Oh.
So, yeah. So I was like, well, can I play it? And they said, yes, we have hands-on. And they basically asked me to leave because I didn't even touch Pro Skater 5. Like, Tony Hawk came in to say hi to everybody. I was just kind of like, hey, I'm here playing this. And they're like, Carrie, meeting's over. Like, you've been here for an hour. I'm like, no, seriously. Like, I just want to play a little bit more because it's their fault for not putting a time demo. I mean, I just was able to keep on going. And the
Wow.
only thing they didn't have was the cutscenes done. So like every time a cutscene happened, all you heard was the audio, and it had like the gray screen of like cutscene number, blah blah blah, there. And but I mean, just take like a Vanquish or a Bayonetta and put it in the Transformers world, and it is so much fun. I cannot go into like how much fun it is because I need this so much. Because yes, you are rated at the end of every game because seriously, it wouldn't be a Platinum's game with. Out, you making you feel bad at the end of it. So you know, so many collectibles, so many different combos, so much fun, man. Like I walked out of there going, this is it for E3.
Yeah, I think it was like 2 or 3 days, like after we did the E3 chat last week with Blake and Ross. Just like 2 or 3 days after that, and all I saw was a screenshot of it, and I was like, wait, 1980s Transformers game? Fucking sign me up.
Right? And you know, and Activision's put out good Transformers game. Like I'm a real big fan of the War for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron games. Mainly because the art style is kind of stylized sort of similar to the movie, but not entirely, because Bumblebee is still the bug, the VW bug. But they aren't based off the movies, so it's actually really good. And I know Activision also put out the movie-based games as well, but I didn't play those. But the ones that are not based on the movies are really, really good. And that Platinum Games is behind this one, and so I can tell you, I can almost gu I can guarantee you the gameplay will be solid because whether you like Platinum games or not, you can't deny that their gameplay is not rock solid. You may not like it. But it's good at what it does, and especially with what they learned with from Bayonetta, because they totally perfected the combat in Bayonetta 2. Made it, I think, like wasn't as much combo lag in the button presses. I noticed that. But oh yes, and there is like a witch time thing. Like you do slow down time by executing a perfect dodge roll. So this is Platinum Games to the core. It is so great. I cannot wait for it to come out. And I think it's supposed to be out this fall, is what they told me. So yeah, I know what I'm going to be doing. Well, that and when I came back, I went on ahead and pre-ordered my Assassin's Creed Syndicate Collector's Edition because after I had my hands on the game, I was like, "Hey, it works! It's great! Yay! I love this! It's so much fun!" Okay, I'm good. I'm happy. So another big surprise was LEGO Dimensions,
Yeah,
and
I heard about this.
one of my hotel mates came back, and I was actually part of the voting for Game Revolution for their Games of the Year, which their E3 games for their show awards, and I kept throwing out my votes, even though I'm not a member of it. But they actually were listening to me, so I was like, "Hey, it's like I'm kind of a member." But so when they were like putting out the vote for the E3 game of the show, one of our hotel mates said LEGO Dimensions. So I was like, "Are you kidding me? Really?" And he said, "Do you have an appointment?" I was like, "Well, yeah, it's tomorrow." He's just go into it with an open mind. Well, I didn't have to go into it with an open mind because it's fucking amazing. Like I really had no expectations with it. I know, Chris, that you said that you saw some stuff and it didn't look to be that great, but what they showed me, this Skylanders, they are going to make Skylanders and Disney Infinity have a run for their money, hands down. For like the toy pad can hold up to seven different toys. Like the vehicles, you actually have to take apart the vehicles and rebuild them to other things, and it pops up an instruction booklet for how to do so, and all the instruction booklets are saved on the game, so if you want to put it back together how it was. Like they had like a copy of like the DeLorean toy, and it's the cutest little DeLorean ever. It's like this big. It's just so adorable. Like I wanted to put it in my pocket, but they probably would have like tackled me on the way out. And so like they started me off in the Wizard of Oz world, and this is almost kind of like what they took the whole idea from the Lego movie about all these different worlds of Lego kind of coming together into one area. So you have characters from the Lego movie, you have like Batman, you have Back to the Future, and they're all kind of working together. And before you can connect all the different worlds, you have to go through, they said, what this portal world is. And you know, I'm so used to Skylanders, that's called a portal. No, it is literally the portal world, as in you are in the game of Portal. And there is Wheatley and there is GLaDOS, and you have to go through all these tests to get through the portal world. There is Chell with a portal gun.
Like a little Lego figure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And you have to, and there are turrets, and they brought back the original voice actors from all of it. And I was like, okay, I just want this. Just give me a Lego Portal game. I'll take this because, you know, because it's not as violent, you know. That's one thing that Lego games do. Like I'm playing Lego Jurassic World right now, and it's really adorable how they make the dinosaur eating not so violent. But so I would just do this, but then I mean, obviously they picked that world because they knew that gamers that would speak to gamers. But then this is what happens when I don't turn off my phone. Start getting texts. Like the one, like I don't get here from anybody, and the one time I don't turn off my phone when I need to, I get tons of texts. All right, so then the next world they took us to was Scooby-Doo. And what they did with the Scooby-Doo was they actually made it cel-shaded Legos to look like 1960s animation,
Oh,
and they
God.
even made the audio sound like it's a 1960s audio track.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah,
Please tell me there's a Lego Mystery Machine.
there is.
Yes! I'm all about this.
I wasn't able to do very much with that. I was just able to solve like one little puzzle, but one thing I will say about it though is that I am most likely not getting this game for my son because the puzzles I feel are more complicated than any other Lego game. Like you actually have to use the toy pad for some of the puzzle solving,
Nice.
and just that stuff's just a little beyond him right now. And if I was one of those awesome parents who loved playing games with my kid, I would do that. But I'm not. Me and my eldest son, he and I are exactly alike, so Like we cannot play. Oh yeah, well yeah, you've met him. Like we cannot play games together. Like we've tried. He wants to play Lego Jurassic World with me. I'm just like, sweetie, don't you remember last time we tried to play a Lego game together? What happened? We yelled at each other. Yes, we did. So yeah. So he just made sticks to Skylanders, but you know, I brought him back. They gave me a Skylanders toy, like one of the cars. And so I brought that back for him. So that's made him happy because you could actually play with it like a car. Like it actually goes, like it rolls and goes across. And so he was very excited about that. So I've just made sure not to talk about Lego Dimensions. That and all I can think about with Lego Dimensions is because you do have to build everything yourself. I can already see pieces getting missing because he decides he wants to play with them and put them all together and not keep them. Yeah. I can already hear the tears. And then when you know Zach gets into it, yeah.
Just count it all. Yeah, it's over.
Yeah. So those. Oh, and the other big surprise was For Honor, which was Ubisoft's multiplayer melee game. And at the press conference, to me, it looked terrible. It looked clunky. It's like, who would find this fun? But for whatever reason, when I went to my meeting, I put For Honor as one of those that I wanted to see. And I guess only I could say reason why is because I figured before I was going to bash it, I wanted to have educated hate and just see for myself if it was really that terrible. And I have to say, this is the most fun multiplayer game I've ever played in my life. And I'm not just saying that because this is the very first time I've ever dominated a multiplayer match. It is really, really solid in how they do it. We played a domination match, and it is 4-on-4, and it's a series of learning how to guard and break people's guards to land attacks. And it's one of those that's kind of weird at first, but once you get it, you get it. And but how the game works is that, yes, you know, when you kill somebody, they do respawn. So your goal is to reach – the goal for the team is to reach 1,000 points. When the team reaches 1,000 points, then they instill fear to the other team. During that time, that other team can no longer respawn. So your goal is to immediately get to those guys and kill them as fast as possible. Now, it is possible for the team to rally back. Like if they take over a couple of domination points, again, they can rally back. And then it becomes a point of struggle all over again. So our match lasted about a good 15 minutes.
Oh nice.
Yeah, and it was, yeah, like it was one of those, like, because we're all talking with each other. I had so much fun, more so, like, I had to play the Call of Duty multiplayer, and I learned once again that I still suck at shooter multiplayers. I played every single match type that they offered us until I got to one match where I wasn't dead last. And I was like, okay, yep, I can't get any better than this. And I'm not having any fun. So I've been playing this now for 30 minutes. I am done. And they're like, well, you have like another 30 minutes. I'm like, I can't do this for another 30 minutes. This is terrible to me. It's just not fun. But playing Star Wars Battlefront was so much fun. So much fun. And I wasn't dead last. I was second to last. Yay! But even if I was dead last, I probably would have liked that. Like, I had an absolute blast doing that. We were the Empire. I was on the team of the Empire, and we were redoing the Battle of Hoth, and we destroyed the Rebels.
Nice. Way to crush this scum. Vlad would be happy for you.
So I could definitely tell those who had more battlefield expertise, because they knew exactly how to use all the different abilities, and there was no tutorial given to us. It was just like, there you go. I'm like, yeah, how do I activate this or that? So that's probably one reason why I was last, or second to last. But yeah, so that was great. And I also did not expect to like Mirror's Edge Catalyst, because that is one of those games that technically should have everything that I hate, but I really had a lot of fun.
Did you ever play the first one?
No. Oh, because it just seemed like a game I would hate.
Yeah, it looks like they took the existing formula from the first one and just made it a little bit better. So
Yeah.
it goes on Steam sale right now and then, so you should check it out on that.
Well, I don't know. I talked to a friend who played it, who's played both. Like he played the original and then he had a meeting at EA and he said that they've improved the combat and so much of the just
Parkour aspects.
well that and the mechanics. He said it's just so much more fluid and there's no load time. When they say there's no load times, there are no load times. Like, and there is no set missions. You can just go, there's the City of Glass. Go. Do whatever you want. If you want to do the story, go do the story. If you want to do all these side missions, go do the side missions.
Sounds pretty fun, actually.
Yeah. I don't know when I'll have time for it with everything else because there's two big themes to E3 this year. Post-apocalyptica.
Yep.
And this is our most ambitious, diverse game yet. If I heard this is our most ambitious game yet one more time, I was going to start punching people because I heard it probably about 10 times in the Xbox press conference alone. But so many games are these huge open world games, which just makes me personally wonder, when am I going to have time for all this?
Yeah. Well.
That said, because Fallout 4 Pip-Boy Edition was opened up again yesterday, I did pre-order that motherfucker. I figure I can cancel it if I want to, but at least like, my name is on it. As soon as like Bethesda is like, we have some more. I was yes.
You're terrible. You and your collector's edition addiction.
Hey, I got it, my throne. I have so
Yeah,
many
it is.
pieces to build on my throne. Of course, you know what I got yesterday? The Heavensward Collector's Edition.
Yeah.
Have I played A Realm Reborn yet? No. I have a problem, man.
But you got a cool dragon with that one, so there you go.
Yes. Actually, I haven't even opened it yet.
Oh, naughty.
I know, I
So,
know.
any other big things that you were kind of blown away by?
Those are the big ones I was blown away by, but I don't know if you had any personal
So, let's
questions
see.
about stuff.
All I've done on the Dark Souls 3 announcement so far is watch that movie. I've pulled a Ross. I've watched that movie probably a good 20 times now. Because I'm just like, Dark Souls 3, yay! So they said that.
That's also open world.
Oh, well. Yeah, that's kind of what they're. Do you know if. Did they say they're going back to like how Dark Souls 1 felt? Or did they get any information as to how the world is kind of constructed? Because Dark
Oh,
Souls
man.
1, it seemed like we had a bigger. It was much more open world feeling because you had to kind of go all over, and you didn't really get teleportation until pretty damn near t towards the end of the game. Where Dark Souls 2, that you pretty much could teleport relatively quickly, so it really kind of you lost that whole big world interconnectedness. You just kind of were, I'm gonna go to this bonfire, I'm gonna go to this bonfire, I'm gonna do this. So it just started feeling like stages at that point.
They didn't go into the teleportation. And the only thing about the big world was that they started it off and it was not a hands-on demo, but we saw live gameplay. So it wasn't a pre-rendered presentation. I will have to say, I did not see any pre-rendered presentations this year. They all did actual, maybe they didn't let us touch it, but they had people actually doing it. So one thing also about Dark Souls 3 presentation is that who's the director for that? Miyazaki. Is that his name? Fuck. What's his name? I can't remember his name, but he was there. He was the one who was directing it. He was not the one playing it. One of the game designers was playing it. So he'd be talking, there was a translator, but every time the game designer died, he would crack up. Like he would just start snickering.
Oh, Dark Souls. That's awesome.
The same thing with Mighty Number No. 9 during the presentation. Whenever the game designer died, the Inafune would snicker a little bit. It's like key, and then he'd move on. With Mighty Number No. 9, I will say that I will not be getting that game. God, I don't miss that era of super hard platforming where when you die, it is game over. I'm like, what the fuck? No way, man. I suck at this. Well, I rage quit in that like 5 minutes. Like I got to the boss and I died. It was like game over. Like, do you want to retry? I was like, well, sure. Thinking start me at the boss? No. Started me all over. It's like, oh, fuck this. I'm done. I didn't miss that back in the 80s and 90s. But other people will just love it. So see, with Dark Souls, like I'm trying to remember everything that they said, because seriously, everything really kind of blurs together after a while. With Dark Souls, they did talk about, because they were saying that, if you can see it, you can go there. So it sounded, and they did say exploration was going to be more important this time than last time, just to find different ways to get places or solve these puzzles. They said this was mostly about the dark hero killing the Lord of Cinder. They were saying that the knights were going to be one of the more difficult enemies this time. Like, basically the guy got into a room where there's three of them and he noped right back out. Like, he aggroed one to get that one to follow him. And you just do one at, they're like, it's pretty much impossible to take on two at once. And then just as he was like, finally got this one almost down, he's like, basically, having to counter all of his attacks and then strike at the right time. Then some asshole came from behind him and bit him. And then that was it. Like, wow.
Yup, that's Dark Souls for you. That's how the Dark Souls world works.
And that's how you respawn back at the bonfire, which was like 10 minutes away from where he was. I was like, oh, that sucks.
And everything comes back, and now you have to fight your way back and get your souls. And if you don't, you lose them. It's a fun time. It's great. It's great.
He dodge rolled away from this one knight, and just as the time as the dragon blew the fire, so then he got set on fire and was killed. And
Oh yeah, good times. All right, so that's that. I'm curious which one you're more excited for, Lego
Okay.
or Transformers?
Transformers.
Really?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Platinum Games.
But Lego Mystery Machine. Think about the cute little DeLorean that you held in your hand.
I know, but all I can think about is all the toys I have, I would have to buy.
Oh, microtransactions at their finest, right there.
Yeah, that's really what this is. And I'm still collecting Skylanders Trap Team stuff for crying out loud because they haven't released the characters that I want yet. And Superchargers is coming out in 2 months and they still don't have all the Trap Team characters out. I'm like, what are you doing, Activision?
Milking you right up to
Yes.
the point that they can get you to the. Oh, what do you think about Amiibos coming on to Skylander games?
That's interesting. Now I'm gonna have to hide my Amiibos because I have four that decorate my office
But
and
it's only specific ones from what I could tell, because they have a little switch on the bottom of them that goes to Amiibo or Skylanders.
Okay. Well then
So.
probably none of these. I think that it I think that's an interesting thing. I think we may see more Skylanders games sold on the Wii U than any other
Yeah.
console. Because I mean there is an Amiibo craze. I don't know about how many Wii Us are out there, but people like their Amiibos. Whether or not they have a Wii U, they like their Amiibos.
That they do. And it also makes me curious if because this is because it from what I could tell, it looked like it was the Donkey Kong and the Bowser were the two that could go between Amiibo and Skylanders, because I guess the next Skylanders you're gonna have cars and
Yes.
so
That's the thing is they've added in vehicles.
now it kind of makes me wonder if, because let's face it, the Amiibo craze is stupid, and Nintendo's only really keeping certain Amiibos in stock, which are basically the base ones, Mario, Zelda, Luigi, and that. Does that mean that now, because these two Amiibos now go between Skylanders and Amiibo, that these are going to be something that Nintendo just continuously keeps in stock? Or are we going to see the shortage that we keep seeing for everything that comes out in every wave? And
We may see. I don't know, because that may be between them and Activision. What they decide to do. So Activision may not approve of that. I don't know. There could be. Nintendo's like the star property. We'll do whatever. Because Activision may not care because it's about Skylanders. Amiibos. Whatever. I could see if it's all to Nintendo that Nintendo does a Nintendo created shortage. I do believe that they do that. I know they say that they don't, but they do. Look at the Wii, for example. That was a created shortage. Now, they may not have expected it to be that popular. I totally get that. But then they did not release. And after they knew, they still didn't pump out enough to meet demand. And I'm pretty sure they did that on purpose just to keep the shortage alive and the talk alive. That it was hard to get them. But which is a shame because I should have sold mine back then. Could have made some more money off of it. But one thing... I don't know if you saw my Instagram photo that I took of the gift that Bandai Namco gave us after the presentation, and that was a mobile phone battery charger that had Dark Souls branding on it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Nice. It's like I got three of them over the show. I was like, this is like the most useful swag ever. This is what everybody needs: battery chargers.
That's awesome. So. Last question.
Yes.
Second to last question. Mm-hmm. Which press conference did you enjoy the most?
EA's was not up there. EA had me when they brought the Mass Effect Andromeda out. And like I was actually one of the people that went, like when the N7 appeared. Uh-huh. But then they kind of lost me the rest of the show. And I can't blame them for that. It was, sports is their cash cow. It's just, when they had Pele up there, who obviously had no idea why he was there, what was going on. It was kind of awkward. Ubisoft's was pretty good. Maybe Xbox might have been. Because, Sony's was, everyone was all up in Sony because it was kind of like the wish list of press conferences. Mm-hmm. Last Guardian, Final Fantasy VII. Was that pretty much it? They said it was still there. It was really Square Enix that had Kingdom Hearts. Square Enix had probably more stuff I was interested in, but their press conference was so poorly presented. And I think it's because it was their first time. They really didn't know what they were doing, and it was kind of obvious. But they had plenty of games to make up for that lack. Versus, Nintendo's had a great presentation and then not much content to go with it. So, let's see. I would have to say it's between Xbox and Ubisoft. Because Bethesda's was good, but I already knew everything.
Yeah.
Like, there was no surprises at Bethesda in terms of announcements. Right. All the details were surprising, but the announcements were not. Like, we already knew about Dishonored 2 and Fallout 4 and... and Doom. We already knew about all that. But see, Xbox, because they dropped the whole thing, backwards compatibility, that made everyone go nuts. It was really cool seeing the HoloLens, even though I have no interest in AR or VR. It was still really cool to see what they had for the HoloLens. Because I could see people playing Minecraft loving that. Except that if I saw my son doing that, I would sit and make fun of him for playing with the air. Because what you saw on the screen looked really cool, but if you looked at him, it's like, looking at the magician doing all the tricks.
Yep.
You know, it's just kind of like, okay, you do look like a tool. Just playing with the air. And seeing Gears of War, seeing the new Gears of War, like, oh, they have me again. And then they showed, the Gears of War, the collection. I'm like, I will so buy that again. Because I am part of the problem. yes, I will do that again. Okay. Cool. Is it Ubisoft? Ubisoft's problem was, because Just Dance, but they always have to have Just Dance. I was very thankful they did not have Watch Dogs 2, which was rumored to show up. I am tired of seeing The Division, because I feel like they've had that every year. But at least, this year, it was actually playable on the showroom floor, so maybe it won't be here next year?
Maybe.
What else did Ubi have? Of course, they had lots of Syndicate. Oh, the Ghost Recon. Okay. My husband will be all over that. Although I heard that was I didn't get a chance to play it, that I heard that was a hybrid between, like, it was like a far cry from Ghost Recon. So it's like, well, that's kind of interesting.
Well, they had Rainbow, they also had Rainbow Six too, so that looked cool. Oh,
yeah, but that doesn't interest me as much either.
All right, so let's wrap this up.
Okay.
Overall, E3 this year compared to, let's just go with the last 3 years.
Best show in the last 3 years.
Best show. It did. It was pretty solid.
Yeah.
I was very happy to see that it was not a bunch of BS. Here's some tech. Here's some more tech. Here's some. They kind of had that. Like, even Sony was very, yeah, we can play this on Project Morpheus, but they didn't, like, they weren't trying to shove Project Morpheus down. Microsoft, yeah, they had HoloLens and they showed you what HoloLens could do, and then they did the whole teaming up with Oculus Rift 2. So you get two choices on Xbox.
Well, it just depends if you want to do AR or VR.
Right, but it wasn't like it didn't feel like Kinect, where it was, here's some new Kinect stuff, here's some more Kinect stuff. You're gonna love Kinect, and Kinect really, other than,
yeah. Did you notice how there was like no Kinect there?
Yeah, you also notice how on Sony there was no Vita.
There was Vita. When they're showing like their lineup, they brought up some Vita games, and that was when we're like, yay, Vita exists.
But yeah, overall, it was a really good show.
Yeah.
Even just from sitting at home watching it on the press conferences and then watching some of the stuff trickle out afterwards. So Carrie, you've been traveling, you're getting sick, which means you've had plenty of time to do a lot of gaming.
Oh yes. Well, I played like 20 different games at E3, but I'm not going to list all those here.
Your 5-minute demo doesn't count.
No. Which, that's for most of them. Do you know how hard it is to write 500 to 700 words when you have a demo for 10 minutes? It's really hard.
No, you can describe in detail all of the title screens.
Oh, geez, no. That did not happen. No, of course, I've been playing more of the Mortal Kombat card game because I got all my Sonya Blade cards!
Oh, thank God.
Yes.
Oh, the world can rejoice, and the angels have opened up the skies for... Oh, as you said that, the skies actually did open up, and the sun kind of came out.
Now I just need all the katana cards. Yay! So, I'm still having a shit ton of fun with that. It's stupid, but I'm still having a lot of fun. I did a lot of street passing, but I also got back into Bravely Default, because I just feel like I need to finish that game. So I played some more of that, and that's becoming kind of my go-to now when I'm on the couch, not pulling up the iPad for solitaire, but let me just grab the 3DS and play some Bravely Default, because my problem with Bravely Default is that the combat bores me after a while, because it's just like the same thing. And that's what turn-based combat does to me after time. Hi, Toby. What's up? So I'll play that, you know, because I can play that in a few bursts, but now I'm wondering, like, well, how bored am I going to get with the dungeons if I'm in the same dungeon for 3 days, because I only play for about 10 minutes at a time. But I feel like I need to at least try to finish it and maybe move on to Kingdom Hearts 3DS, because, you know, I got 2 years before Kingdom Hearts 3. Oh, there's a mobile game coming out first, so. Yeah. And that's most likely going to have canon in it, so I'm going to have to get it, because fuck you, Square Enix. And then when I got this the day before I left, but I've been playing Lego Jurassic World this week.
Yeah.
And I just finished the Jurassic Park part yesterday. And the dinosaur animations are the best part. I am going to have to make a GIF of the raptor breathing onto the, that scene that he puffs the air right on the door when he's looking down, and they're about to, you know, they're trying to do the door locks. Mm-hmm. He actually, he does a smiley face.
I'm like, okay, you're so full of humor.
And if you find one of the collectibles, which is like a hunk of amber, you unlock dinosaurs to control.
Oh, snap.
Which do different things. Like, the first one I unlocked was the Triceratops, which you would use to bash rocks to get through barriers. And so I've unlocked so far the Triceratops, the Raptor, and the T-Rex, which there's like, I think, 20 other dinosaurs I can't unlock. I will say that this feels like it's an easier Lego game than a long time. And I mean easier as in the collectibles aren't as complicated to get. And it almost feels like they're kind of going back to making it simpler for kids, because the puzzles aren't that complicated either. I don't know. It just kind of felt like there's a lot of things were handed to me. And the stuff you have to do in between the story levels is ridiculous. That it's obviously padding stuff, and maybe it kind of teaches you puzzles that you're going to have to use later. I don't know. But now it's just like, seriously, I'm just trying to get to the next level and I have to like solve this puzzle for you in this really convoluted way. And like, oh, now I'm not there yet. Got to solve another one. It's just, I don't know. I think Harry Potter Lego probably handled it best with the in-between levels because it had you go to class and learn a new ability. Well, that made sense because, you know, he's in the school and he's learning new magic as it is. So that kind of made sense. This just feels padded. So, but now my big question is, I've never seen Lost World or Jurassic Park 3 or Jurassic World. So how confused am I going to be for the rest of the game?
You wouldn't be that. I've seen all of the Jurassic Park movies. They're all pretty much the same. You go to an island, there's a bunch of dinosaurs, you escape the island. Hooray!
Oh, okay.
So, it's...
The thing that's weird about Jurassic Park is that, you know, they do use the audio from the movie. And it sounds like it, because it's got that old audio sound. Oh, and my only problem with it is, it's like when you're playing as Alan or as Ellie, and you're, like, breaking up Legos, it uses some of their grunts and screams from the movie. It does not translate well, and it sounds awful. Like, I can't play as Ellie and break stuff because it sounds like she's taking a poop.
there's lots of little things
in it that make it a lot of fun. Like, they do make fun of, you know, the big scene where Ian is, what's his name? Jeff Goldblum's character, when he's laid out and is, you know, got his shirt open and sweaty, and this kind of zoom in to his like little Playboy pose. They do make fun of that like repeatedly in it. Like I said, like the dinosaur animations are some of the best, and like they actually do have the T-Rex eat the lawyer off the toilet, which was kind of like, I can't believe they have that. But then he coughs him back up at the end, so it's like, so he's still not eaten. So far only one guy has been eaten, and it's because this scene where they're lowering the cow into the raptor.
Yeah.
And the cow switches place with this guy and shoves him in. And then you see the raptors go in and you see Lego parts just fly up in the air. And the cow's like, yes. And then runs away. But like nobody else was killed. Like Mr. Arnold comes back, and the guy that gets eaten by the raptor is the hunter. Mm-hmm. Like they're both, them and Nedry are all three are chasing the helicopter, like, come back as it leaves.
Oh, Lego games, he's so funny.
I do have to say though, because when it pop up, you know, you see something, you see, well, can I do this? And it would pop up like what Lego character could do it. And I didn't recognize half of them. I was like, there are so many damn white people in this game. I can't tell these white people apart.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, that's all I've been doing. So no Witcher 3, because I've been going to bed early because I feel like shit.
Yay!
So what have you been playing? Because you got a shiny new toy while I was gone.
I did get a shiny new toy. I've been playing more Destiny. I now have one character at level 33, one character at level 32, and one still sitting at 22. So my brothers and I have been playing a lot of that. One of my brothers broke his arm, so that's what we've been playing. Started New Game Plus on Bloodborne, so I should be doing a review of the guide hopefully tomorrow if the sun comes out, so I can light up my room enough so that way I can do the video review. And yeah, I went and bought an Xbox One. I didn't even know, so I bought it like what, Thursday, Friday, something? No, it was Thursday. I bought it Thursday or Friday. It was right before I sliced my finger wide open, and I let it sit on the floor for a few days, actually. Didn't even open it. Really sat there and debated if I was going to take it back, because there's just not a lot of exclusives. I really do like my PlayStation. So, but you know, there was Halo 5 and I was like, oh, that looks fun. I want to play that. And I really want to play Forza games because Forza to me is still my, like, my all-time favorite racing game because they just nailed down the arcade to sim just so well on that. So I want Forza, but nobody, I have like a $50 gift card. So I should drive 40 miles to Target to get the Forza that I want because it's the only Target around. Anyway, so yesterday I was finally like, F it. Let's just open this up. Let's set it up. You've already bought it. Just screw it. You're not going to take it back. So I set up my Xbox and put in Sunset Overdrive. I was like, okay, Sunset Overdrive, getting ready to go. Oh, got a patch. Okay, great. This should only take about 10 minutes. I'll go get my lunch real quick. And then I ate my lunch. And then I went and got a drink. And then I finished my drink. And then I went and got a second drink. And about halfway through that, the game was finally like, hey, you can play this. And really, the Xbox One is a dick tease because there's that port where it downloads or installs so much and it's like, hey, you can start it. It's like, oh, this is like the PlayStation. We can just play it while the game does whatever it's got to do in the background. Nope. You get like the title screen. That's about it. And there's like a movie or something that I kept playing. I was like, really? This is your you can start now thing? I was like, this is bullshit. So Sunset Overdrive took like just over an hour to get installed and updated. And then I was finally able to play that. And that's a stupid amount of fun, actually.
Oh my gosh, yes. I miss that game so much.
I'm actually starting to get the hang of the controls and the whole like...
It's a learning curve.
Oh, it is. The whole being stylish and not... Because by default, I've played some of the games where you want to be on the ground and battling stuff. And this one is like, nope. You want to be grinding and jumping off cars and hitting these air vents and just doing everything you can possibly do in the air and get your style up as high as you can get it. And I was like, oh, okay. So I finally started getting used to that. The concept, it was just like, okay, I get where, you know, if you take this game seriously, you're going to hate it because this game is just like, nope.
Oh, God, no.
We're going to make an energy drink that's going to turn people to mutants. And yeah, go. I was just like, okay, this is entertaining.
And that's just the start of the parodies.
Yeah. So I've done, I think, two or three missions. I've done the one where you have to do the amps and you have to defend your giant little amp thing. And then I started going around getting the helium. I loved how they were like, the helium balloon or the balloons are full of this chemical, so that way it works. And oh, by the way, stinky socks because they produce methane gas and that's really good for this. I was like, really? Really? So we're getting bandages, methane, or dirty socks. Fun little cartoon balloons and what look like neon signs. I was just like, whatever. So I've realized that when I play this game, I'm just totally gonna check my sanity at the door and just let it go because this game is totally, it's crazy. So it's a lot of fun.
It's fun to watch you respawn too, because I think I've seen like 20 different respawns.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I've only died once, and it was like I had a drill like. The mega drill from like Turtles where they would drill up and then your guy would pop up.
Yeah, there's that. There's like you rise from the dead like a zombie. You actually were kind of like move around like a zombie a little bit. There was a portal one. You drop in through portals. Nice. So that's where it was. Like I felt I was doing this thing where you have to climb up like the skyscraper and we'll jump up and I fell down and it dropped me at this checkpoint like halfway up. It's like, wow, I'm so glad I don't have to do all that again.
the commentary in this in the game itself is just very colorful and very not. It's actually refreshing having a non-brown, non-blue, non-gray game. You know, it's just like colors everywhere and it's fine with me. I'm fine with it being cartoony because it's a video game, people. I'm not looking for photorealism here. I want It does a really good job.
And wait till you get to the Breaking Bad mission.
So, yeah, I was already called Heisenberg.
Yeah. Like, you have to rescue Jesse.
Yeah. I was like, okay. So, yeah. I did that. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to play some Destiny. So, I'm going to get Halo going so that way this can be installed and I'll play it later on tonight. Right? So, let's face it. I bought Bloodborne. Off of the PSN, that was like a 40 some odd gig install, so you figure it was about 25, 30 gigs to download, plus a patch and all that. When I did that, I was able to basically, when I did Bloodborne, I was able to I started in the morning, went down, took a shower, did my shaving thing, had breakfast, and by the time that was all done, the game was pretty much done. I think it took about 2 hours for that game to do what it had to do. So start Halo about 4 o'clock.
This morning?
No, 4 o'clock last
Okay.
night.
Okay. I was like, what the hell, dude?
So start Halo at 4 o'clock yesterday evening. I check it at 10 o'clock and it's 35% done. I check it at 1 in the morning before I go to bed. It's 42% done. I get up this morning at 6:30 and I look and it's 85% done. It's like, really? All told, it took 15 hours for this fucking game to download to my Xbox One. I was like, I think that's actually worse than the PlayStation 3. Because
Yeah, it is.
I was like, I can't. And I have a friend who also bought one as well. So he's like, oh no, it only took me 2 hours. And I think I said, I was like, I can't, no way you downloaded like 60 gigs worth of stuff in 2 hours. He's like, no, we were watching a movie and it popped up and said it was ready to go. And I was like, I started thinking about it. It's like, oh, that's right. Well, when you put a disc in and it gets to that part where you can press start, it like pops up that little message that says your game, you can now start it, which means you can go to the title screen. Congratulations. And I was like, are you sure that you, because I know you haven't tried to play it yet. So are you sure you didn't just see the, hey, you can look at the title screen now because it's all pretty and listen to the music and that's about it. He's like, oh, I didn't realize that. It's like, maybe you have some really kick-ass internet speeds, but last I remember, my internet was faster than your internet, and you're telling me yours downloaded in 2 hours, and it took me 15 fucking hours. But I finally got in. I was able to play. I got onto Halo. I got onto the ring right before we started the podcast because I was like, okay, I want to see how good it looks. And I gotta say, it. I mean, yes, it looks very dated, and I got so used to playing Destiny that I have to relearn all these controls now because I'm like, right button to reload? Come on, man, that's stupid shit. That should be right over here. It should be a finger button thing. But man, there's just something about hearing the freaking title screen, hearing the monks just chanting away. You're just like, oh, it brought me back to it. It was so good. Updated. I mean, you can definitely tell it's an old game, right? This is an Xbox One or an original Xbox game that, you know, has been updated. And I've been trying to figure out what button I can use to make it go back and forth just so I can see how terrible it is.
Hold on. It is, because I did this with Halo 2. It is the button that has like the two squares in
Oh,
it.
the like share button.
Okay, well, it's not the share button.
Well, no, that's what I equate it to.
No,
Because,
it's, I
yeah,
don't know what
okay.
these buttons are called.
Well, the one on the right is the menu button.
Okay, the menu button. Well, then the Windows button, whatever the
There
hell
you
that is.
go. Oh, I'll have to give that a try when
Yeah, you
I'm
click
over
that and be
lunch.
like, ugh!
So,
This is what I did.
I've been, yeah. So it was really fun. I'm going to enjoy. I'm actually looking forward to playing through all four Halos again. So,
Well, we should do that with Blake. That'll be fun.
yeah.
Maybe,
Yeah,
and maybe my friend Drew.
does the co-op actually work online? It's just the multiplayer, right? Like the
I think it's just
match.
the multiplayer. The matchmaking is where the problems were.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, finally got that all done. Overall, man, there's things that that whole Metro UI on the Xbox One, that's a fucking train wreck. That's a terrible mess. It was, and I'm used to Metro, right? Because I have a Windows machine, but at
Right.
the
Oh
same
no, this
point,
is it's not the same.
no, this is, you can't, you can only pin stuff to your home menu. So like, I'm like, okay, well, fucking, here's all the shit that I'm using at the current moment. Put that shit over here so that I don't have to try to fucking finagle my way through eight to get to like settings. It was three or four screens just to get to certain settings, and it's like, okay, this is stupid. I do like the pinning to be able to pin it to like the home area. I wish that Sony had that so I could get all my fucking games moved into one section as opposed to scrolling through that long ass cross media bar. But Microsoft has to do something about that download stuff, because that was atrocious. I was just like, 15 hours? Come on. It took me less than three to get, you know, an equivalently sized game onto my PlayStation 4. It just there's no reason for this anymore. It's like Microsoft and Sony, like we were talking about yesterday. Microsoft and Sony have switched. Microsoft is like, oh, that PS3 thing where everybody hated it, we should do that.
Right.
And Sony was like, hey, that Xbox 360 thing that we really should be doing, let's do that. Anyway. So Sunset Overdrive, really, really fun. I am very much enjoying being back in Halo. It does harken, man, especially after playing, you know, like Destiny for as long as I have now. It is definitely an old system. You know, there's no iron sights. Melee is a bit different, but overall, it's fun listening to the little grunts run for their lives as you shoot them in the back.
And there's that in Halo 4. There's one skull that you can get, you know, I think it's like early on that you can get, and it's called a grunt birthday party. And if it's when you get a headshot, instead of blood, it sounds like a champagne cork popping, and you hear kids going, yay, and confetti goes everywhere.
Oh God, I can't wait to play this. So still kind of regretting it, but you know, we'll see how it goes. I'll have a good time.
Oh, but when you get your Forza game, you'll be happy.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I want Forza Horizon 2 because I hear that that's the one that's pretty much like an open world racer. But I also really, Forza Motorsport was what really gets me. So I know Forza 6 is coming out. So
see, and then you'll get Gears of War Remastered with me, and we'll.
Oh, I'm so ready for that. I am so ready. I saw the screenshots. I saw some screenshots of that. I was like, oh shit, yeah, count me in. And I don't know how I feel about Gears of War the Flashlight Simulator, but hopefully that turns out to be good.
Flashlight Simulator.
Their demo that they showed at E3 was them walking through a very darkly lit area with flashlights, and like there was nothing. I was like, oh, that's a Flashlight Simulator. Congratulations.
Okay, I guess I didn't think of it that way. I was too busy going, yay, Gears of War!
Calm down. Bird is Baird or whatever. Not.
I know, he's not going to be in it. Well, none of them will be in it.
But that's what I've been playing. So take us home so that way your sick ass can go sit on the couch.
My sick ass not gonna sit on the couch. I still have stuff to write, and I have a feature from E3 to write. Yay! Okay, so, but you can leave us a comment on this post if you'd like us to talk about anything in particular, like if you have any questions for me about what I saw at E3 or any questions about what Prima Games had at E3, because they had I took pictures and put it on Facebook so you can see a little bit of what's coming up. You can also email me at strategyguidereviews@gmail.com if you have any questions. You can follow each of us on Twitter. Chris is Starvin, but that's an E-N, and I am at Crunchy Chocobo, and the site is at Strategy Reviews. And we ask that you keep on reading SGR. We promise we do write reviews. They're coming. We get busy. And games are so big.
Yeah.
And we are so few.
We are. Few the strong, the writers.
You know stuff's big when Prima Games comes out to me and they're like, yeah, we know you're never going to get Witcher 3 done. I'm like, I will by 2017, man. I'll post a review then. Oh. All right. Well, we'll see you all next week. Have a good one.
And with that, we're out. Peace.